Welcome back to another episode of Boiled Down Brevard.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, this is Jessica Saggio, and the man, the myth, the Rob.
The non-camper, Rob Landers. Hi, everybody.
Rob Landers here, and I am back after a short vacation, an extended weekend, which really wasn't much of a vacation for me, as it was way more work than I anticipated.
Okay, if you are not following Jessica on Snapchat at JUHJUHJUH, you missed a fantastic Snapchat story over the weekend. I have never seen anyone attempt to cut a sandwich with an axe and then try to put it back together with a rubber mallet, but yes, it was quite entertaining.
Yeah, me and my family went camping over the weekend at Fort McAllister near Savannah, Georgia, and we took our 15-month-old baby girl, which was interesting.
And the dog.
And the dog. Yeah, there were times during that trip where they were both crying at the same time over different things. I mean, it was so much work. I probably burned like 8,000 calories a day. No joke. But anyway, stay tuned because I did write a column this week about the do's and don'ts of camping with a toddler, as much as I can tell you, which I failed in many regards over the weekend.
But you want to know what the number one don't is?
What's the number one?
Don't camp with a toddler.
Oh, such a hater. See, I don't regret it. I don't regret it. I will probably do it again.
Says the girl who says, I can't wait to go back to Savannah without my child.
That's true. But that has more to do with drinking than with camping part.
That's true.
Yeah, because that's kind of the allure of Savannah, no? Like,
I
you
guess
walk
so.
Around with a beverage in your hand.
Well,
anyway.
You know, and the whole historical nature and the ghost tours and all that other stuff. But what I
well,
digress.
We've done all that. I've been to Savannah like a million gazillion times. So we know. It's cool. It's
How many
cool.
zeros is that?
I don't know, like 19. I'm just throwing that out there. Anyway, we've got a ton to talk about today.
Like, we do.
Rob, what have you been up to? I know you've been up to a lot.
So, no, not much has been going on with me, but we have some good news and we have some sad news. We'll start with the sad news. Anybody who has been on social media today or has checked out any number of news sites, including our own FloridaToday.com, has already heard the news that the world has lost yet another music icon. 2016 has not been the year for musicians, and today we lost Prince, the artist who was at one time the artist formerly known as Prince.
Formerly known as Prince. He's
who is now known as Prince, and now he is going to be known as the late artist Prince. Died at the age of 57 in his Paisley Park Studios.
Sad.
Was apparently hospitalized on April 15th with the flu. And AP and other news agencies have confirmed that the artist has died. Now, I know Prince because, you know, that's what we listened to back in the day. But, you know, since many of our listeners are younger, I would imagine that many of you were probably conceived to the music of Prince and, you know, maybe Darling Nikki or Purple Rain or, you know.
Yeah, I told Rob he had to talk about this because Prince was like a little bit before my time. Like, not a lot of it, but like just a smidgey. Like, I'm still very familiar with Prince, still, like, amazing music legend, but...
I surprised myself with the knowledge I have of Prince. I was I walked up on a conversation where people were talking about, yeah, you know that movie he did, which one? Well, you know the movie he did. Okay, Purple Rain or Under the Cherry Moon, which one?
Oh, man, Rob, the movie guy
right?
over here.
What's
right? your favorite Prince song?
I like Nothing Compares to You. Which actually Sinead O'Connor, you know, made famous, but Prince actually wrote it. And I like that song.
Yeah.
But if I'm singing karaoke, my favorite is When Doves Cry, which is why my Facebook post is The Doves Are Crying Today. Cause
they are crying today.
Yeah.
Poor doves. Poor Ooh. Prince. I'm so sad. What a sad day.
So on a happier note, so for the past couple of weeks, since Jessica, you know, was curled up in the fetal position sick, we have been trying to give something away on this podcast and... have not been successful until this week. Last week, we asked you guys to tweet to me your best and funniest reason why Adam Sandler should move to the Space Coast. We had one tweet.
So we'll take it.
So by default, by default, Nate Dahman, who I was tweeting, who tweeted to me at by Rob Landers, that Adam Sandler should move to Brevard County because of the active community theater scene, he'd get all the lead roles, was our one and only tweet. And see, if you guys had tweeted something, you might have been the winner.
Oh, that's pretty witty.
He is the winner of the two tickets to Big Fish. When I was chatting with him on Twitter, he did say he always expected that he was the funniest twit in Brevard County. See what he did there?
He's got so many puns.
He does. He's very punny. So anyway, we'll be coordinating with Nate to get him in to see the show. And congratulations, Nate, and thanks for listening.
Four for you, Nate.
Two.
You go, Nate.
Oh, you said good for you. I thought you said four for
you,
and I was like, no.
Have you never watched Mean Girls? Four for you, Glenn Coco. You go, Glenn Coco. Really? Like, everyone should get that reference.
Is butter a carb?
Finally. Like, my life is just a series of quoting Mean Girls all
You're
the time.
You're so fetch.
So, hey, stop trying to make fetch happen. But anyway. Okay, so more good news for all you Titusville brethren of mine. The mall is really happening. They mean it this time. They really, really, really mean it. Like, there's proof that it's happening. They are laying the concrete slab for the one and only Hobby Lobby to come to Titusville, which, if you're from Titusville, you know that we like to tailgate to anything that involves a new business or construction. Like, when the mall was getting torn down, we had a party, we had food trucks and stuff, and then, you know, we just love to celebrate any kind of development in Titusville, no matter how big or how small, unless it's a Dollar Tree or a dollar store or a mattress store, then we all just whine about it. But anyway, the mall, which is called Titus Landing, is well on its way. The slab is being laid down. They're out there working. They say Hobby Lobby should be done in about 5 months, and then phase one of the whole project, which includes a movie theater, the Hobby Lobby, of course, and a parish medical center complex, we're looking at about 12 months for all of that. And stores could be open by the end of the year. What?
Just in time for Christmas.
Just in time for Christmas. Other stores coming, and we got some pretty cool stuff coming, which, you know, for Titusville, this is a big deal because, you know, our shopping consists of like Walmart, Target, and a Marshalls. That's like basically
And all it. The downtown businesses.
Which are what?
I don't know.
Beer.
I don't live in Titusville.
I think we've got like one like little consignment-y shop down there. And like, so yeah, there's stuff to do down there, but it's not really a place you go shopping. I think there's an art gallery. Maybe you could buy some art there, but not really a shopping place. But this new mall is going to have a theater. A movie theater, which we have a movie theater now, but it's not like, you know, it's nothing to write home about. Hobby Lobby, of course. Ulta, which I had to explain to reporter Norm Moody what an Ulta was and why that was a big deal, because he didn't understand the importance of Biolage shampoo, which is life, which I use, and it's expensive, and I have to drive all the way to Vieira to get it. So we're
going
to have
much longer.
Not for much longer, though. We will have our very own Ulta, and their nail polish is the best. Their Ulta brand nail polish lasts for like a week. Plug, plug, plug. Love that stuff. There's going to be a Bell's, a pet supermarket, a rack room, shoes, all the things. So, yay, Titusville, you win.
So, anyway, I don't know, I kind of feel a little offended by this next story. Like, I feel snubbed. So, yeah, okay, it's a nice house. But the guy just wanted cash. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. In one of the biggest snubs up to the Space Coast, David Rennie of Sheldon, Connecticut, decided to take a $1.2 million cash and prize option in lieu of the $1.7 million grand prize in the 2016 HGTV Dream Home Contest. Now, the Dream Home and the accompanying prizes, including a posh 3150 square foot fully furnished riverfront home on South Merritt Island.
It's gorgeous.
$250,000 in cash, a 2016 GMC Acadia Denali, and a 2016 Brandt Speranza boat. Okay, that's like a lot of loot.
Right.
Now, because he took the cash option, Dave will be driving away from a future in Brevard County in the Acadia Denali, pulling the boat behind him with $900,000 in cash in his pockets.
Okay, so I want to defend him a little bit here. Okay, just a smidgen. First of all, I would have definitely taken the house. Obvious reasons. It is stunning. But think of how much the property taxes, the insurance, like, that would be so expensive that you would be draining yourself.
They're giving him $250,000.
I know, but the upkeep of that house over time would end up being so expensive. Maybe, well, he has a job he can't give
up.
The thing
that I was thinking about, too, is that, you know, for those of us that live that close to that house, it would have been like, yeah, I want that house.
Like, I'll take
but,
it.
But, you know, I mean, he's got family in Connecticut. That's where they live. That's where their lives are. And he doesn't want to sell all that off to move to Florida, because if he wanted to do that, he could have done that anyway and just not had the posh house on the riverfront. He wants to stay in Connecticut. I get that. It's just like...
Even though it's Connecticut. Connecticut.
Or Connecticut.
Connecticut.
You know.
Yeah. There's two sides of Connecticut. There's Connecticut, and then there's Connecticut.
Connecticut, where you have to talk with your teeth clenched.
You must. Gamargo style.
Indeed.
Yeah, so I get it. But, I mean, he even mentioned that it would have been a second home. He wasn't willing to give up the home in Connecticut.
No, exactly. And so, yeah.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. Good at least for you, he got Dave. A car. And
congratulations,
a boat.
You know.
Yeah,
enjoy the car, enjoy the boat, enjoy the cash.
Yeah, we'll take the house.
Right.
And we don't know how much they're going to sell that house for now.
Like, no, they haven't. They're going to sell it fully furnished and decorated as is, minus the car and the boat, and see what they get for it.
I'll give you guys 150 bones. 150 bones for that house. I'll take it. Cut your losses, right? Anyway, so that's, you know.
I think you're going to have to multiply that by, like, you know.
I mean, whatever. You know, it's worth the effort. Yeah. So we have some really great stuff happening in Brevard County. Mr. Connecticut guy. There are three companies in this county who are just like killing it so far this year. We've got Embraer that's expanding, OneWeb that is coming here, and Northrop Grumman, which is expanding. Okay, so I'm just gonna break these down because these are big deals, all right? So Embraer is an executive jet company, right? And just in full disclosure, my husband works there. So I'm a little impartial to them because I think they're cool. They make a jet right now called the Phenom, and it's kind of small. Like, they make two jets. They're both the Phenom and
100 and 300.
100 and 300, right. They make these two little jets, and the way my husband describes it is if, like, you were to win the lottery tomorrow and you wanted to buy a jet, like, that'd be the perfect jet for you to fly around, you know, Mr. Connecticut, if you would have taken the $1 million. You could have bought a Phenom, and that'd be perfect. But now they're introducing this new jet, which is like
the Legacy.
The Legacy. And it's like this bigger, sleeker jet. I've been in the Phenom, and I can stand up in it. I'm short. I'm 5'2", so I can stand up in it. But, like, say you, Rob, you couldn't stand up in it. It's really not that big. Now the Legacy is bigger. My husband can stand up in it. It's nicer, better technology. The way he described it to me is this. The Phenom is kind of like a taxi, and the Legacy is kind of like a limo. So they're getting bigger and better. They want to compete with Gulfstream. It also means the addition of 600 jobs, and they're going to start building these suckers next month. So yay, Embraer. Go you.
And they just delivered their 1,000th jet.
Yeah, all the jets. So good for them. Make It Waves, they're a Brazilian company that came to Melbourne, so we're glad to have you. Me especially. Now, OneWeb, a lot of people aren't familiar with OneWeb. Do you know what OneWeb is? You know,
it's a satellite manufacturer.
Okay, fine. Rob knows what it is. You ruined my point, Rob. Anyway, they make satellites, but they make them super duper fast, okay? Like, they crank them out quickly.
And super duper small.
Yeah, yeah. Like, they're revolutionizing this whole process. And they want to make 15 a week, which is, like, ridiculously fast. At their new facility, which they're building in Exploration Park, which is technically in Merritt Island, but it's in that, like, conservation-y land between Merritt Island and Titusville over by Kennedy Space Center, adding 250 jobs with an average salary of $65,000. So welcome, OneWeb. We're glad to have you, too.
Yeah, that's going to be a really cool thing. They want to build, like, a network of 900 of these little mini satellites to provide high-speed internet access, like, all over the place.
Yeah, good. More internet, the better. All the internets.
All the internet.
All the internets.
We don't get the internet tubes where I live.
What?
The internet tubes.
The internet tubes?
Yeah, we can't get the internet. The tubes don't go to our house.
Oh my God.
That's how it was with cable when I was a boy.
back in Mississippi.
Back in Mississippi.
I don't even know what that was.
We didn't get the cable where I live. We lived way outside of the city limits, about a mile.
What did you have? Nothing? Antenna?
We had PBS and ABC and NBC, but about midway through my rearing, they took out the ABC station and they changed to a CBS affiliate, and I had to say goodbye to Mork and Mindy.
Oh my gosh, just last week I complimented you on never showing your southern accent.
And there you have it.
You brought it back.
I brought it.
There it is, a cameo from Rob's southern accent.
Yep.
all right, so the last company that's coming here. Well, it's already here, but now it's getting
bigger. Oh, they've been here.
Because
they had like the JSTORS program, and now they're getting like...
Yeah, they're like massively expanding. It's Northrop Grumman, which I don't know about you, but I always spelled Northrop wrong. So I just want to be clear that it's with an O. It's not with a U.
It's actually with two O's.
Yeah, two O's. But the end of it has an O. Anyway, I just always get that wrong.
Northrop, not Northrop.
I just want to personally apologize to everyone at Northrop Grumman. I mess this up all the time, and I know everybody lets me know when I mess it up, but I'm sorry. I don't mean to. I don't know why I want to do that.
She also puts a U in Brevard, so it's okay.
It's not personal. So Grumman, okay, revealed their site plans.
Northrop Grumman, yes.
I'm calling them Grumman, okay, because we're tight.
Yeah, they don't like that.
We go by one word.
They don't
now.
Like that.
How about Grummy?
They don't like Grummy.
Grummy and me.
Yo-N-G.
Yo-N-G. They revealed their site plans, and they're adding three-story buildings off of NASA Boulevard, where they currently are located. Of course, this has to go through Melbourne City Hall. They have to give it the big check mark and all that jazz. But they're building these new facilities to build the Air Force's next generation long-range strike bomber. Doesn't that sound cool?
Boom.
Boom. Adding 1,500 jobs, an average salary of $100,000 a year. That merits a boom. Hello, boom, boom. 100,000 G's.
No, that merits a cha-ching.
I'm totally in the wrong industry. So
yeah.
That's coming. It's going to be called the Northrop Grumman's Manned Aircraft Design Center of Excellence. So that's cool. So you go. Another one. We're happy to have you in Brevard. Thank you very much. Moving on to other things happening in Melbourne.
Okay, so if you love strolling through downtown Melbourne during the annual Arts Festival, you might want to get down there this weekend because it's likely to be the last time it will be held in the downtown district. Citing limited space and declining revenues, the festival's board of directors has voted to move it and its opening 5K Flamingo Run Walk to Wickham Park next year. According to Justin Torpy, Melbourne Art Festival board treasurer and former race director, the festival has gotten too big for its traditional home. Now, I'm not a fan of this plan. I'm not a fan of moving to Wickham Park. There's something about the quaint atmosphere of the festival in the downtown district, and the Flamingo 5K was the first race I ever did, ever, like 7 years ago. And I'll be doing it again this year, so if you're listening, look for me in my Florida Today 50th anniversary running shirt. But anyway, now I also understand it's hard to make money from food vendors when they're competing with the very businesses in the downtown district, but that being said, I love hanging out in downtown Melbourne, and the art festival was always a fun thing to do while I was there.
Right.
Wickham Park isn't a place that I would ordinarily be heading to, so like Runaway Country or any other event that may be happening there, it'll be easier for me to avoid. And now parking won't be a problem that last weekend in April when I'm downtown trying to patronize the businesses that are here year-round.
No, I totally agree with you. There's something about having a festival in a downtown that just makes you feel at home. Like, it makes you feel proud of your community, and I love that aspect of it. You know, I love that local businesses were being supported through a festival like that. But I do understand the revenue side.
Well, my thing is that, okay, if you've run out of space, if you've run out of space for vendors, then make it kind of a prestigious kind of thing,
yeah.
And raise the rates.
Right.
Be
more selective.
Of the vendors that you allow to come in. Keep it in the downtown district. But I think the most disappointing part for me is the move of the 5K, which was a little bit more unique because of the Causeway Bridge aspect. And you can find a 5K based in or around Wickham Park through most of the racing season on the Space Coast. I mean, so you have this kind of unique thing. There's only a couple races that actually go over the bridge, mm-hmm. the Florida Today 5K, and then the or at least that size. I mean, you can do the Melbourne Marathon that'll go over the causeways. You can do Eye of the Dragon. I think that goes over the O'Galley Causeway, but to go over the Melbourne Causeway, it was like, you know, one of the few. It's all I can say is it's a shame.
Yeah, bummer.
So.
But anyway, so this is kind of funny news. More Melbourne news. Jeff Foxworthy and Larry the Cable Guy.
Get her done.
Two of America's favorite blue-collar comedians.
Funny, we were just talking about Jeff Foxworthy last week when you were asking me about my accent.
Yeah, yeah. Rob can surely relate to these guys. They're coming to Brevard. They're coming to the King Center April 23rd. Tickets range from $62.50 to $199. Ouch. So that'll be cool. I'm a huge, like, comedy fan. These guys are pretty funny. They're not usually my cup of tea. Like, I do like them. I think that they're funny, but, like, you know, whatever. I probably won't go. Kathy Griffin was here last week, so Brevard's kind of killing it with
I comedy. Wish I had known Kathy Griffin was coming. That one kind of slipped by me, and I would have loved to have seen Kathy Griffin. But, you know, I'm sure that Jeff Foxworthy's spiel will relate to, you know, some of your neighbors.
You know what? You're probably right,
if
so I'm
you
not
can
even going to argue with that.
Quote, if you mow your yard and you find a car, you might be a redneck.
Hey, listen, I live in an HOA. There is none of that. Are you a big fan of comedy, Rob?
I am a huge fan of comedy.
Who's your favorite comic?
Oh, I like Carlos Mencia a lot.
I would have never called that from you.
I do.
I would have never called a Carlos Mencia.
I like Carlos Mencia a lot. His style of comedy and his it's a little bit more racially charged, and his just very much if I have offended you, well, you know.
Sorry.
Too bad.
Yeah.
I can't say the words that he actually uses on his shtick.
Yeah, he's a good act. You know, I tend to like comics who do some like original storytelling that aren't necessarily just like the, you know, like the poop jokes, gag jokes, and like sex jokes and stuff like that. Like, I'd probably say like my favorite guy right now, because I go through phases of who I like at the time. Like, I was all about Jim Gaffigan like a couple months ago, but like I've kind of had enough food jokes and I've moved on to like Donald Glover. Mm. Do you know him? He's on Community.
Mm-hmm.
He is so funny.
You know who I'm not a fan of?
Who?
Amy Schumer.
You know, I like Amy Schumer, but because I root for female comedians like big time. But like,
so do
I'm
I, but not that one.
I don't like Sarah Silverman either.
No.
Yeah,
no.
There's the same type of comedy to me.
There's a comedy special on Netflix that has Amy Schumer and
the four of them. Ladies Who Something.
Yeah. And like, not Amy Schumer and not the third one, but the second and fourth one were really funny on that.
Yeah,
I just don't remember their names. It was really good.
Was Angela Johnson one of them?
Yes.
Funny.
Angela, yes.
She's good.
Angela Johnson. Is she also the one that is talks about the Vietnamese ladies
yes.
and the nails?
Oh my God, yes.
Yes.
She's so funny. But...
Security.
Security. Speaking of security.
Hey, boo. How you doing? complicated order.
You got boyfriend?
Oh, you got boyfriend?
You got boyfriend?
Oh.
All right. Now that we have quoted every comedian that we possibly can today.
Oh, no, we haven't. I would, like, you know what I mean? Because not only old school, like, not only Carlos Mencia, but, like, old school Eddie Murphy.
Yeah, no, I totally agree.
The Delirious soundtrack, Eddie Murphy Raw.
I just timeless comedy.
I know
there are timeless comedians. Anyway,
so.
All right. Well, I think that does.
Are
it
we
for
done?
Today. Yeah, I think we're done.
Okay.
We can stop rambling.
So all of the stories except for the whole comedian thing that we were just talking about can be found inside the pages of Florida Today on FloridaToday.com and on the Florida Today mobile and tablet apps. You can follow Jessica on Twitter and on Instagram at Jessica J Saggio. That's at JessicaJSaggio. Or you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at @byroblanders. That's at @byroblanders. Thank you so much for listening, and make sure that you subscribe to us in the iTunes or the Google Play Store, or follow us on the Stitcher Radio app so that you never miss an episode of Boiled Down Brevard. That's going to do it for us for this week. Until next week, bye.
Okay, bye.